Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In discussing the seerat, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we reached Amul Huzn, the year of grief, the year when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his uncle Abu Talib and lost his wife Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also faced a negative response from the people of Ta'if. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there to invite the people responded to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very, very negative way. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from Taif, he stopped in a place called Nakhla. He remained there for a few days. And it was there, one night Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing Salah. And unknowing to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a group of jinnat happened to pass by. They heard the recitation of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, deeply affected with the content of the Quran. They went back to the nation and they told the nation about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran that was revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah refers to this in the Quran Kareem. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفْرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْسِتُوا. When the jinnat came, they were so attracted, inspired with the recitation of the Quran Kareem, they told to their fellow jinnats, keep quiet. فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ. When the recitation was finished, they went back to the nation, to the jinnats. And they told the jinnats that أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ. Accept the invite of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the da'i of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And they told about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this we understand one very, very important point. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif for a mission. He went for a purpose. He went to invite the people there. There was a negative response. But you are probably the barakat of going to Taif on the way that the incident of the jinnat have taken place. And therefore our ulama mentioned, no effort of dawah is in vain. Sometimes you make an effort in one place, the people of that place don't respond, the people of another place respond with the barakat of that effort. Here, Nabi Kareem Sasa was making an effort on one nation, on human beings, but that became a means of hidayat for the jinnat. So this is an amazing thing, amazing lesson we learn from this. This is the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala takes full responsibility to preserve his deen and for Allah's deen to be propagated in the four corners of the world. After the incident of Nakhla, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to return to Makkatul Mukarramah. With Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Zayd ibn Haritha told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, how are you going to enter Makkah when the people of Makkah have banished you and taken you out from Makkah? How are you going to go back to Makkah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Zayd ibn Haritha, do not worry. We would make dua to Allah. Allah will create some solution for this problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out of Makkah to the cave of Hira. And from there, Nabi Kareem sallallahu contacted three persons. First, he contacted Akhnas ibn Shuraik and told to him, I wish to enter to Makkah, and according to norm and the custom of that time, would you give me protection? Would you give me aman? So Akhnas ibn Shuraik told, I cannot give you protection because I'm the alliances of the Quraysh. So I can't be on their side, I can't be on your side at the same time. Then Nabi Kareem sent a message to another person by the name of Suhail and told him, I want to come to Makkah, would you give me protection? Suhail declined and he said he cannot do that. And then Nabi Kareem contacted a third person by the name of Mut'im ibn Adi. Told him, I wish to enter Makkah. I need some protection. I need some aman. So Mut'im ibn Adi accepted this request of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under his protection. He ordered all his sons to be around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ensure that nobody would harm Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He announced to the people of Makkah that I have given protection to Makkah, to Muhammad, to enter into Makkah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkatul Mukarramah. First thing, he goes to the Kaaba Sharif, by the Hajr-e Aswad, kisses the Hajr-e Aswad, and then he returns home. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always acknowledge this favor, this ihsan of Mut'im ibn Adi. In the Battle of Badr, when the many people were taken as prisoners from the side of the Kuffar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned what to do with the prisoners. Different opinions came. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَوْكَانَ الْمُطْعِمْ إِبْنَ حَدِي حَيًّا وَكَلَّمَنِي بِهَاؤُلَا لَتَرَكْتُهُمْ. Oh, kama qal, if Mut'im ibn Adi, the person that gave me refuge when I entered into Makkah Mukarramah, had he been alive today, and if he would have spoken to me about the prisoners, then I would have let these prisoners free. From this we understand, great lesson, great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes people do us favors, people do ihsan to us, whether Muslims, even they are non-Muslim. Don't forget the ihsan of any human being upon us. You're a non-Muslim making ihsan on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on a major issue, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered him even after the death of that person. When the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah left no stone unturned in oppressing and persecuting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did whatever they could do. Almost 10 years have passed by. How many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was confronted in a negative way? How many sahaba, males and females of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been oppressed and persecuted? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhibited the highest form of abdiyat, the highest form of submission, subjugation, slavery, when he went to Taif, now Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala honored Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by calling him up to his court. And this is when the Mi'raj, the physical ascension of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam toward the heaven took place. It took for the highest form of abdiyat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be exhibited for Allah to call or Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam up toward the skies. And this is what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Glory be to Allah who have taken his abd, who has taken his slave from Masjid al-Aqsa to Masjid al-Haram. From Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. The incident of Mi'raj is well known to one and all. It was on this occasion that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala presented Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and threw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam three gifts. The first, the gift of Salah. The second, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. It was given during the occasion of Mi'raj. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ till the end. In the hadith, we are encouraged every night to recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. These last two verses were given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the occasion of Mi'raj. And the third gift, that whosoever passes away without making kufr and shirk, who brings iman al-Allah, who does not make kufr and shirk, Allah will grant him entrance into Jannah and Paradise. These were the three gifts that were given to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the occasion of Mi'raj and through Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the Ummat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the issue of Salah, I just want to mention a few important points. All the laws of the Sharia were revealed to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on earth. There wasn't a single law of Sharia that was given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was in the heavens. It was only this one law of Sharia, obligation of Sharia, the obligation of Salah, where Almighty Allah Tabaraka called Nabi Kareem up toward the heaven and give him this order in heaven. This shows that Salat is such a great obligation and a great gift from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, Bain al-Abd wa bain al-Kufr tarku salah. Between a person and kufr, the criteria between them two is tarku salah, leaving out your salah. It does not behove a mu'min, a person who's got iman in him, that he does not perform salah. Salat is something that's supposed to be ingrained in our lives. And all the activities of our lives supposed to be surrounding salah. Fajr salah, what you have to do before that, after that. Zuhar salah, anything before Zuhar, after Zuhar. Make Zuhar the center of everything. The same with Asr, the same with Maghrib, the same with Isha. Our entire life is supposed to be revolving around that. One is to perform our salah, and one is to perform our salah correctly, properly, with the adab and etiquettes. It is not just trying to absolve ourselves from a responsibility. It is to make our salat accepted in the court of Allah. In the hadith, it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once in a masjid. He was seated there. One sahabi, Hazrat Khalad ibn Rafi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came. He made salam to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He first came in a masjid, he performed two rakat salat. Quick salat, fast salat he performed. Then he went and made salam to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fasallama. Nabi Kareem Sallam responded to a salam. Nabi Kareem Sallam then told him, Irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, O Khalad. Go perform salat, you didn't perform salat. Yet he did perform salat. He performed salat right in front of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, O Khalad, go back, go perform salat again because you did not perform salat. So he performed the salat again. He comes back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Again Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli.
Oh, Khalad, go back, perform salat. You didn't perform salat. And this happened 3 times. Until when he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how am I to perform salah? 3 times I perform salah, and you're saying I didn't perform salah, how am I to perform salah? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told him, explained to him in detail how should perform salah. Told him that when you perform your salah, when you go into ruku, irka' hatta tatma'inna raki'an. When you go into sajda, usjud hatta tatma'inna sajidan. One is that to make our qiyam properly, full concentration. You go into ruku, take your time in ruku. Minimum read 3 times Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. Concentrate on the meaning. Glory be to Allah who is all so great. Concentrate on the meaning, and that will bring that spirit in our salah. When you come up from the ruku, that is called the qawma posture. Take your time. And in order to aid ourselves in fulfilling that wujub of qawma, our ulama has mentioned, prayed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala at that time. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Prayed Allah at that time. So you are standing, you're praying Allah, but you know you're remaining standing and you're fulfilling that obligation of qawma. It's not that when you come up from ruku, you hardly stand up and then you go into sajda. Go into sajda, take your time, 3 times, recite 3 times, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. And between the 2 sajdas, that is called the jalsa, to pause there for a little while, that's also wajib. And ulama has mentioned, between the 2 sajdas, at least make this 1 dua. Allahumma ghfirli. Allahumma ghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. Now when a person is about to go into sajda, he's putting the best portion of his body on the ground. It is an exhibition of utmost humbleness and humility. And before that, you're going to say to Allah, Allahumma ghfirli, do you think that your dua will not be accepted? Most definitely, the dua will be accepted. So let us inculcate this habit. But before going into sajda, you read, Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah, you forgive me. And before moving on the next point on the issue of salah, one is that we should be punctual on our salah. And one is that if we have missed our past, our salat in the past. Sometimes it happens that during our days of youth, we missed out some of our salah. Or due to circumstances, we missed out salah. Which should never be the case in any way. Salat is something that we should be punctual and should never ever leave it out. But as we go on in life, we realize our journey is the qabr. We realize our journey is the akhirat. The first thing that we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will be our salah. So how can we be before Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala having the balance of salah? Make every possible effort to start making qaza of our mushed salat. Sometimes people get afraid that how many years salat am I going to make qaza? Don't be afraid, put a system in place. With every far salat, try to read at least 1 salah. And if Allah gives life, it will be done. And if the person have to pass away before that, then at least the person tried. He made that intention to make qadha for his salah. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us hidayat to understand what is the spirit and what is the message behind Mi'raj. And that is to show our abdiyat to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, it was after the incident of Mi'raj. After the incident of Mi'raj, there was also another amazing incident that had taken place of Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi. As I mentioned to you all, the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they didn't accept the da'wah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, few accepted. Nabi Sallam goes to Taif, he comes back completely despondent. But you make an effort in one place, Allah creates a means for hidayat for another group of people. Tufail ibn Amr is there. Now Nabi Kareem started to make an effort on the people of Makkah, but Allah sent Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi there. He was from a very prominent Yemeni tribe, and he was a poet. He was well known, he had his contacts in Makkah. So all the leaders of Makkah told him, just be careful of Muhammad. Make sure you don't listen to anything about him. He's very charming in his speech. So he used to put cotton wool in his ears, and that is why his title was Zul Qutnatain, the person with two cottons, cotton wool in his ears. But Allah made it such, once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed his salah, he stood next to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say that, I knew I'm not supposed to listen, but in my heart I felt I should. I know I'm not supposed to listen, this was the advice of the people, I got caught in my ears, but in my heart I felt I should listen. Then Allah put it into my heart, I'm an intelligent person, I'm a poet, I should make my own decision. So let me hear what Muhammad is reading. He said, when he heard Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recitation of the Quran, it immediately had a revolutionary impact in his heart. After the salat, he followed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the house. He then told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what the people of Makkah told him. He heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reading the Quran, and he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he is attracted to Islam. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited to him three quls. قُلْ يَا أَيُّ الْكَافِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. He said that that was the complete turning point in his life, and he had accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told him, now you go back to those and you invite the people of those to Islam. That's a tribe of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Go back to Yemen, invite the people. So he told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would the people be convinced that I've come from you? You are the Prophet of Allah. Ij'al li ayatan. Give me some sign, some indication that people will be convinced. So Nabi Kareem said, made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allahumma ij'al lahu ayah. Oh Allah, give him some alamat, some sign. So Tufail ibn Amr was traveling to Yemen. At night, there was a light that came out from his forehead. It's like a beam that emanated from his forehead, from his head. It was a bright light that was coming out. So he got worried. He thought to himself that if I'm going to go to my people and they will see that light coming from my forehead, they will think this is some kind of disfiguring, some kind of musla. So the moment he met, and he was very worried and concerned, he had a walking stick. Allah transferred that bright light from his forehead into his stick. And this became an alamat, an indication to show the people that he have come with from the Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He made an effort. Again, very few people responded. Yes, of course, his wife accepted Islam and his father accepted Islam, but his nation did not accept Islam. So out of frustration, one day he came back to Makkah Mukarramah. He complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, my nation did not accept Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, curse my people. Curse the people of those. I'm making so much of effort, they're not accepting Islam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of cursing them, made dua for them. Allahumma ihdi dawsan wa'ati bihim. Allah give hidayat, give guidance to the nation of those, bring them to me. Nabi sallam told to fail, go back and make effort again. Now, many years later, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Khaybar, in the 7th year after Hijrah, look at how many years of effort, 7 years after Hijrah, when Nabi Sallam conquered Khaybar, now Tufayl ibn Amr come with a caravan of people to Madina Munawwara, and among them is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, one of the person who narrated the most number of ahadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on to the next point, it was a season of Hajj. People from all around the Arab Peninsula, they are going to come to perform the Hajj. It is the habit of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every opportunity of da'wah he would take and he would give the people da'wah to Islam. So during this period of Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to various tribes, talk to them, invite them. From Madina Munawwara, there were two tribes that came, the tribe of Aws, the tribe of Khazraj. Two tribes from Madina Munawwara, they came for Hajj. Now the tribe of Aws and Khazraj, they always used to be in dispute with the Jews of Madina Munawwara. The Jew, the Madina Munawara, used to tell the tribe of Aus and Khadraj, you are fighting with us. We are the people of the book. We read in the Torah that the final prophet and messenger is going to come. We are going to join him and we are going to fight with you people. Now the Aus of Khadraj have been hearing this many, many times. And here in the valley of Mina, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi is meeting the Aus and Khadraj, inviting them to Islam. So they started talking among themselves that this person Muhammad is telling that he is the Prophet of Allah. The Aus and Khadraj are telling us that the final Prophet and Messenger is going to come and he's going to fight against us. So maybe he is the Prophet of Allah. Before the Jews join with him, let us join with him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi gave them da'wah to Islam. And in the valley of Mina, this is called the Bay'at Aqaba. First 6 people accepted Islam. And then the following year, that is now, we would say, the 12th year after Nubuwwat. There were 12 people that accepted Islam. And then there was a 3rd delegation that came after that. That was just before Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could make Hijrat. There were 72 people from Madina Munawara, from the 2 tribes, from the Aus and Khadraj, that have accepted Islam. And they went back to Madina to Munawara and started paving the foundation for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming over to Madina to Munawara. In the 13th year, when the 3rd delegation came, they came with a very strong request for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now to move over to Madina to Munawara, to migrate over there, to stay there, and they promised to help and assist Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would come over there. On this side, after Hajj, the Kuffar of Makkah were now frustrated. 13 years have passed by. They did everything possible to stem the tide of Islam. But every time they suffered setbacks. Not Islam. Not Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not the Muslims. They were the ones that really suffered the setbacks. So they decided that they should make a decision once and for all to ameliorate Islam, remove Islam from the face of the earth, so that Islam is no more in Makkah Mukarramah. And that is where that incident of Darun Nadwa had taken place. Darun Nadwa, it's in line with the Hatim area in the old Haram. It was quite visible. There were pillars that are there. And now that area is now completely part of the Mataf area. That was, so to say, the parliament of the Kuffar. They gathered there, all the leaders of the Kuffar, and while they were in the house to decide the fate of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what to do with him, that is when there was a knock, tap at the door. They opened the door. There was an old man from Najd. He said, I heard you're having an important discussion, and I want to be part of the discussion because a matter that concerns me as well. And that old man was actually Shaitan. So he told everybody, give your people the opinions and I will let you know my observations. So one person said, the only way to deal with Muhammad is to imprison him. The old man from Najd, Shaitan, he said, that's not an effective way in dealing with a problem. He's got so many ardent followers, they will come and release him. He's going to defeat the purpose. Second person he mentioned, let us banish him, exile him, let him be out of Makkah Mukarramah. So again, the old man from Najd, Shaitan, mentioned, that's also not effective. He's going to defeat the purpose. Because he will go and propagate the religion from there, and he will make a huge powerful army and come and attack us. And that's exactly what had happened. Looked at that old man, Shaitan was very clever too. And then there was a third opinion that came. And this opinion came from Abu Jahl. We should kill him. But instead of the one person taking the responsibility, it should be a representative from each one of the tribes who take part in this killing, in this assassination. And the old man from Najd, Shaitan, he concurred with that. The plan was drawn out, how to kill, how to assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The night was also marked out on which night this will be done. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam and tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, now Allah has given you permission to make hijrat, move. The kuffar, the youngsters, they were responsible to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were right around the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In the midst of all that, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, come out. And in the narrations we understand, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam reading Surah Yasin. According to some narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam read this dua, Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidq wa akhrijni mukhraja sidq. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam advised, take some sand and throw it in the direction of the kuffar, to which all of them became blind. And the center of all of them, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam came out, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam left the home. It is stated, he went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he told Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Allah has given me permission to make hijrat. Immediately Abu Bakr Siddiq mentioned, Fas-sohba, ya Rasulallah, what about accompanying you? Nabi Kareem mentioned, Fas-sohba, you can join me. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu now start the journey to hijrah. They start the journey to Madinatul Munawwara, and they go and hide in the cave for 3 days in the cave of Thawr. We know the famous incident when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr were there. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the feet of the kuffar, and he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if any one of them have to bend down, then we would be caught. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Abu Bakr Siddiq, Ma tadhunnu bi isnain Allahu thalithuhuma, what is the thought about those two persons, the third of whom is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? What is the thought about those two persons, the third of whom is Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? And this is what Allah refers to in the Quran Kareem, Iz yaqulu li sahibihi la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Remember, when he was saying to his colleague, Nabi sallallahu telling to Abu Bakr Siddiq, La tahzan, don't grieve, verily Allah is with us. Now it is our belief, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu la hafizun. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent down the Quran, Allah will preserve the Quran. In fact, Allah will preserve the entire deen. And any effort in the direction of deen will be under the preservation of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Quran will be preserved, the Huffaz will be preserved, anybody make an effort for the sake of deen, they will also be preserved. It's amazing, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was told by Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to take the Banu Israel and leave Egypt and move away at night. So when they come right by the Red Sea, when they look behind, they find Pharaoh and his army behind. Just like how here in the cave of Thawr, Abu Bakr Siddiq told to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would be caught. So Banu Israel told to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, look behind. Pharaoh is there with a huge, powerful, gigantic army. Inna la mudrakun, we too will be caught. What answer Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told to Banu Israel, Inna Rabbi ma'i sayahdeen. My Allah is with me, Allah will guide me. And in that way, in an amazing way, how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam drowned Fir'aun and his army. Another example to show this, to illustrate this point. The youth who took refuge in a cave. The leaders of that time were after them, trying to catch them. Allah made it such, preserve them in such a way that if you would, Allah says in the Quran Kareem, that if you would look at them, لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا, you would see that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has protected them in such a way that when you look at them, the people will become mar'oob, they will become very awed, and in this way Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has protected them. From this we understand, anybody engaged in the work of deen, any branch of deen, If there is ikhlas, if there is sincerity, if there is ilahiyat, you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah, then most definitely you will be in the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And three verses in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah speaks about His ma'iyyat, the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. First, inna Allah ma'al mu'mineen. Allah is with the mu'mineen. Ma'iyyat is there. Inna Allah ma'al muttaqeen. People who have taqwa, Allah is with them. Inna Allah ma'al muhsineen. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is with the people of muhsin, with ihsan, people who do favors to people, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is with them. Now, the incident of hijrat is quite lengthy, but I'm just going to mention to you two inspiring, amazing incidents that took place. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq, they are on the way. And the incident of Suraqa ibn Malik took place. The Kufar of Makkah sent out an announcement that whosoever catches Muhammad, he will earn for himself 100 camels. That was a huge bounty, 100 camels. Suraqa ibn Malik says he was sitting in his house and somebody came up and they were coming from that direction, from the coastal side, from the Sahil side, and they said they observed two people walking there. So Suraqa ibn Malik immediately thought it could be Muhammad and somebody with him. Now he was more worried about securing the 100 camels for himself. So he told his female slave, take my camel and or my horse and put it by the house of a particular person. Tie it up there. He didn't want anybody to know, so quietly Suraqa ibn Malik came out, he rode his horse and he went in that direction. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sees behind, he sees Suraqa ibn Malik. He sees. He told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, this person right behind us, we're going to get caught. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again comforted Abu Bakr Siddiq and told him not to worry. It was shortly thereafter that the horse, the legs of the horse of Suraqa ibn Malik plunged into the ground and he got stuck. Suraqa ibn Malik knew immediately that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed him, and this is the effect of the curse of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I know that you have cursed me. Make dua that Allah remove me from this predicament and I will go back to Makkah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Now he came as an enemy. He came to catch Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He befriends Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that whatever food he had with him, he offers it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to take. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him one thing. You return to Makkah and on the way, just tell the people that you have scanned the area and nobody should come in this particular direction. But he then asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, can you write down some aman from protection for me? He had yaqeen that one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to come to Makkah. Write some aman, some protection for me. Amir ibn Fuhaira, the slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, was there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to write it down and gave this aman to Suraqa ibn Malik. Now, Suraqa ibn Malik goes back to Makkah Mukarramah. And he meets Abu Jahl. And he told to Abu Jahl these couplets. I've noted these couplets down. He says to him that, Aba Hakam, Wallah, Lo kunta shahidan li amri jawadi hina sahat qamaimuhu. Alimta wa lam tushakkik bi anna Muhammadan nabiyyin bi burhanin. فَمَنْ ذَا يُقَاوِمُهُ Suraqa ibn Malik, now he came with an enemy, but he was so influenced with what he has seen, having yaqeen and conviction that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah. He tells to Abu Jahl that, oh Abu Hakam, that was the title of Abu Jahl, I hope you were present when you had seen my horse, when it got stuck, the legs of the horse got stuck into the ground. If you would have seen that incident, you would have yaqeen, you would know for a fact, and you would have no doubt that Muhammad is indeed the Nabi of Allah. فَمَنْ ذَا يُقَاوِمُهُ Then who is that person that can go and oppose Muhammad? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam then proceeds when he comes to close to Madinatul Munawwara, the famous incident of Umme Ma'bad took place. The incident or the encounter with Umme Ma'bad. Umme Ma'bad was a woman. She was sitting by the entrance of her tent. People used to go and buy items of need from her. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, and who else were with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also went there by the tent. They thought they could buy some of the needs for the journey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Umme Ma'bad, there was a small goat there. What's wrong with that goat? So she told, this goat is weak and feeble. My husband Abu Ma'bad is gone to graze the other goats. But this goat is weak and feeble, can't even walk. And it can't produce milk. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, would you allow me to draw out milk from there? She told, but there's no milk. But if you wish to do it, go ahead and do it. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched the udders of the goat and he said, Bismillah. He touched the udders of the goat and he said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. In a short period of time, there was so much of milk filled up in the udders of this goat that 10 people were able to drink from that milk. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi first offered it to Umme Ma'bad. She drank. Abu Bakr Siddiq drank. Amir ibn Fuhaira drank. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank. And the remaining milk, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, leave it here. When your husband comes, give it to him. She saw this incident. She immediately said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadin Rasulullah. She accepted Islam. At night, when the husband Abu Ma'bad comes, and she relates the incident to Abu Ma'bad. She describes Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describes the outer appearance of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Abu Ma'bad was convinced that this is an extraordinary personality, and he also said that I have to do something to go and meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before coming to Madinatul Munawwara, on the way, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Talha, they were two businessmen. They're coming in that direction. They met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and according to one narration, Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu offered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam white qamis, white kurta, offered it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters Madina Munawwara in the direction of Quba. Inshallah, we'll take it up from there in our next session. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the noor of the seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, puts in our hearts the love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, puts in our hearts the value of the efforts and the sacrifices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. And Allah give us the tawfiq and hidayat to for us to practice on the great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. In the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a beautiful example, but for three people. That person who wishes to meet Allah in Akhirat. Second, who is hopeful for the Akhirat, life after death, and that person make a lot of zikr of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah put those three qualities in us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.